I want to ask a question. May I see the hands of all who are glad they're saved? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Imagine all those folks out there unsaved on their way to hell. And here we are. And it's wonderful how the Lord works. Did you notice the meeting this morning? One central theme, the love of God. And we didn't get together in conference and say, let's talk about the love of God. I didn't know what anybody else was going to say. The Holy Spirit moved on various ones. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Beloved, enjoy your salvation. Those folks out there, especially those people in Hollywood, don't let them deceive you. They're miserable. With all their money and all their property and all their everything, they're a miserable bunch of people. Let's enjoy our salvation. Now, we continue our study in the Epistle to the Hebrews under the title, Let Us. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Let Us. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. There are two let us expressions in that verse. We're going to take the second. Let us run with patience. We are to be enduring believers. Now, the race that we're in is not a sprint. You know that sprint is that short distance, 100 yards, 100 meters. This is a marathon. You're in the race until you get to the end or the Lord takes us to be with himself. It's a marathon race. And it's very important in races that we finish the race. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. This was a favorite verse of my father. And the more I think of him, the more I admire him. 7 and verse 8. Just the first expression. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. How many of us remember that old fable, the tortoise and the rabbit? Anybody remember? Let me read it for you. A hare, that is a rabbit, was continually poking fun at the turtle because of the slowness of his pace. The turtle tried not to be annoyed by the rabbit, but one day in the presence of other animals, he was goaded into challenging the rabbit to a foot race. Can you imagine that? The turtle challenging the rabbit to a foot race. Why, this is a joke, said the rabbit. You know that I can run circles around you. Enough of your boasting, said the turtle. Let's get on with the race. So the course was set by the animals, and the fox was chosen as judge. He gave a sharp bark, and the race was on. Almost before you could say scat, the rabbit was out of sight. The turtle plodded on at his usual unhurried pace. After a time, the rabbit stopped to wait for the turtle to come along. He waited for a long, long time until he began to get sleepy. I'll just take a quick nap here on this soft grass, and then in the cool of the day I'll finish the race. So he laid down and closed his eyes. Meanwhile, the turtle plodded on. He passed the sleeping rabbit and was approaching the finishing line when the rabbit awoke with a start. It was too late to save the race. Much ashamed, he crept away while all the animals at the finishing line acclaim the winner. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. I recall when I was in high school, and I remember his name, Harold Vickman. I'm Garnes, he was next to me. And Harold, since I haven't seen anybody like him. The teacher would be asking a question, and before he finished the question, Harold had the answer. Oh, he was fast. He was spectacular. And we finished high school and went on to college. You know, Harold never graduated from college. He didn't finish the first year. He faded out. But in the same class, there was another boy. And I remember him well because my name is Garnes and his was Barnes. And I said to myself, how in the world did he ever get into this school? Slow? But he finished anyhow and went on to college. And an amazing thing happened. He made Phi Beta Kappa, the honorary society for scholarship. Then he went to medical school, and he was elected to AOA, the honorary society for medical students. And what do you think happened, or what he was the last time I saw him? Professor of surgery at Cornell Medical School in New York City. He finished. And that's what God would have us to do. To finish our course. Now turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Seconds. Well, you know, there's some fascinating things in the Bible. And this is one of them. Second Samuel chapter 18, verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Joab said to him, you shall not bear tidings this day, you shall bear tidings another day. This day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what you have seen. Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. In a race, right? Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, to Joab, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. Joab said, wherefore will you run, my son, seeing you have no tidings? You don't have anything to say. You don't have any news. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run, go ahead and run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. Did you get the picture? Yes, Cushai went first, and Ahimaaz comes after and spectacularly passes Cushai. That's a great picture, isn't it? Let's read on. Verse 24, David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king. The king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. The king said, he also brings tidings. The watchman said, methink the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. You see, he passed Cushai. He's first place now. The king said, he is a good man and comes with good tidings. Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. The king said, is the young man well? That's what I want to know. And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me by thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was. Fast runner, huh? No information. He's ending up with nothing. The king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. He's coming in second now. Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged me this day of all them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? That's what I want to know. Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man. And the king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. Ahimaaz was the faster runner. But what was the end of his run? Nothing. Cushai came in second, but he had news. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And don't be moved by these spectacular figures. You know, there's some folks, especially in the world of sport, they're so spectacular. They look so good. Oh, he's good. She's good. Don't be spectacular, beloved. You just run the race that God has given. Run the race. I've told you this before. I'm reminded this happened in New York. There was a young fellow there who wanted to preach. Oh, he wanted to preach. And they had at that assembly what they called an open platform. You see, no speakers were arranged. You just came up when you thought you had a chance. And this fellow shot up to the platform. He was going to preach. And he got there, stood before the audience. His knees began to knock. His mouth dropped. And he stood there and trembled and walked down. And I like old sisters. They have a lot of wisdom. You know what she said, young man? Come here, I want to tell you something. If you had gone up the way you came down, you would have come down the way you went up. Don't be spectacular. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. Better is the end. We are all, as believers, in a race. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Patient continuance. That's what we need in this race. Have you heard of Madame Curie? Yeah. Madame Curie was interested in pitchblende. And she said, there is something in pitchblende of value. I want to find it. And all these scientific men, these men of science, especially chemists, said, you're wasting your time. The only encouragement she got was from her husband. And there was Madame Curie digging, digging, digging. And one day she found it. What did she find? Radium. Is radium important? Do we use it today? Do we use it in the treatment of cancer? Patient continues. And oh, beloved, if we're going to finish this race, patient continues. Not spectacular. Patient continues. Now I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to point out something. I'm not going to prove it. But it's a wonderful thought. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 9 and 24. Are you all there? Know you not that they which run in a race all run, right? But one receives the prize. Only one gets the prize. Today, they give a second and a third prize in the Olympics. Now, notice the next phrase. So run that one of you may obtain. Does your Bible read that way? So run that you, every single believer, can win a prize in this race. Now, when you get home, think on that. Every believer here can win a prize in this race. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 11. Every believer can win a prize. It isn't who comes in first. There is a prize for every believer. Now Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's possible for another believer to get the reward that God had in view for you if you don't run the race. Everyone is in the race. Everyone can win a prize. Make sure that we win our prize. Now, a warning. Hebrews chapter 2. We're in a race. And we're to run patiently. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we slip away from them. Beloved, you thank the Lord you're in an assembly. And don't slip away. Hold fast to the truth. I've told this to Brother George and maybe to some of you. Back in New York when I was a teenager, a long time ago, there was a fellow there, also a teenager. And I used to marvel. He would get up on a Sunday morning and give thanks. Where did he get those words from? How did he put together those sentences? I mean, it was absolutely remarkable to hear him pray and give thanks. But he went off on a tangent. He slipped away, he drifted away, and what do you think I saw, or how he looked, or what he was doing the last time I saw him? The last time I saw him, he had a pipe in his mouth and a bottle of liquor in his left hand. He had slipped away. He had drifted away. Child of God, don't let that happen to you. I have several listed here. I'm only going to tell you one or two. Another brother. I was a teenager and I attended this conference. And I tell you, I never heard anything like it before or since. He spoke on Romans chapter 8. Oh, what a mighty message. Sister came to our house the next day to visit my mother. She said, wasn't that some message? Or at least my mother said, wasn't that some message? You know what this sister said? He was too spectacular. A year later, he was excommunicated from fellowship for adultery. Be careful on the way. Don't slip on the way. I'll tell you a third one. Brother in St. Louis. That brother was responsible for leading 90% of the people in the assembly to the Lord. A great soul winner. But what an end he had. He drifted away. He went on a tangent, and he too had to be excommunicated for adultery. Don't slip away from the truths that you are taught in the assembly. The truths of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 4, please. Don't slip away. We're in a race. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Philemon, verse 24. Philemon, verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Demas was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. The only thing I can think of being greater than that is to be a fellow laborer and a worker with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, Demas knew him. Demas worked with him. Demas saw him. Demas heard him. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. This same Demas that saw Paul and worked with Paul. Verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Demas has forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. Be careful on the way. We're in a race. Don't deviate to the right or to the left. Stay on the race course. A man that knew Paul. Wouldn't you like to have known Paul? Wouldn't it be nice to sit down and talk to Paul and get some instruction on the scriptures from the Apostle Paul? Well, that's real close. But he forsook the Lord because he loved the world. Let's beware of the world and what the world presents for our consideration. There is nothing in the world better than going along with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Remember now, we're in a race. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil companionship, evil communications corrupt good manners. Watch your company. Watch whom you associate with. They tell me that one rotten egg placed in a group of good eggs will make them all rotten. But the other way doesn't work. One good egg placed in a bunch of rotten ones won't make the others good. Watch your companionship. 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, and thus be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. Be careful what you join. Be careful whom you associate with. That's what that verse means. We are on a race. Be careful of your companionship. Wrong companionship ruins. Wrong associations ruin. Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 34. Verses 1 and 2. Chapter 34, Genesis, verses 1 and 2. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Be careful where you go. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and defiled her. Watch your company. Watch where you go. Or you will mar the picture in the race. Isn't it interesting? The world is the same today as it ever was. Way back there, you have rape. I've never heard so many cases of rape in all my life. You turn on the news. This lady's walking in a lonely place. Somebody grabs her. Why, even the children they're picking up. Watch your company. Watch your association. Be careful where you go. I've told this and I'll tell it again. When I first worked at a certain hospital, it was around Christmas time, and one of the nurses invited me to her Christmas party. I said, I don't go to Christmas parties. Thanks for the invitation. Oh, please come, please come. And prevailed upon me, and I went. You know how long I stayed at that party? Less than 5 minutes. I walked in, there was the odor of alcohol and smoke all over the place. And it was what I would call a real bacchanalia. You remember what a bacchanalia is? Remember Bacchus back there in the days of Greeks and Romans? Well, that's all this was, one of those wild, let yourself go things. My coat was there. I went, took it up, and walked out. And then when she saw me, you didn't stay long at the party. I said, no, your party isn't for me. I have a relative, had a relative. Went away to school. Nice young lady, saved and in fellowship. They invited her to a party. They put some drug in her drink. She drank it and died right there. Watch your company. You're in a race. And if you go off on a tangent, you'll be in trouble. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Oh, young folks, take this verse with you. Take this verse with you. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Make up your mind, no matter what, I'm not going to be a part of this. I've told you this before. We used to have scientific meetings, which one should attend to keep abreast of what's going on in the particular area that you're interested in. And I would go to these scientific meetings. They usually served what they call, the meeting would start at 8. But at 7:30, they would serve a collation. You know what a collation consists of? You don't need teeth for the collation, because all you do is drink. Here comes God. He only drinks water. I think that's nice. I'm here. And a lot of them are not here. Classmates of mine. Be careful of your company. Be careful of what you take part in, what you share in, and how you share. Now, I told you this recently, I'll repeat it. Another relative of mine, he was at college level. Oh, I'm interested in winning my classmates for the Lord. Very nice. And sometimes when we're coming from school, I would say, let's stop in here and have a beer and talk about the Lord over the beer. How do you do? The two things don't go together. We have got to be careful as we go along in this life to maintain separation. Our power and our effectiveness lies in our separation. I've also told this before. Have you ever, most people like to look at the operations and doctors working on TV. Am I right? Have you ever noticed that they wear gloves? I wonder why they wear gloves. I'll tell you why. They want to feel the tissues, but they don't want contamination from the tissues. And I have a good friend, heart surgeon. He was working on this patient. His glove got a puncture, punctured the skin. He didn't know it. Usually the nurses tell you about it. And he went through this operation, and he was sick with a liver disease for 6 weeks. Contamination. Oh, beloved, we want contact with the ungodly, but we don't want contamination from them. Be very careful about your associations, or you will mar your course in the race. Pride. 1 Peter 5:5. The last part of the verse, the latter part. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you want to go up? Would you like to go up? At the job? In school? At home? Would you like to go up? Get down. And the lower you go, you'll find the higher you will rise. Be very careful of pride. 2 Samuel 14. Second Samuel 14:25. Just going to read one verse, and when you go home, you read the rest of the story of Absalom. 14 and 25, are we all there? In all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Why, he was a young lady. How'd you like to meet a fellow like that? Why, he was something. From the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, not a blemish. A handsome fellow with a nice bushy head of hair. Oh, my. Watch it. Then you go home, read the rest of the story. Pride. Oh, don't be proud. Have you heard the story of the brother? Got up in meeting and said, "Brethren, there is one thing I want you to know. I want you to get it straight and never forget it. I am the humblest man in this meeting." Isn't that so? He was proud of his humility. Pride comes in a very subtle manner. Put away pride. And we need to be careful with our children and our estimate of them. I got a report yesterday from one of my offspring. He's always first in his class. I congratulated him. But said, "Don't you get swell-headed about it." I think of a brother. He's now with the Lord. He was very helpful to me. Very kind and very good to me. And he had a son. He said to me, "God took that son away because we made an idol of him. He was talented. He was brilliant. As a young man, he could give a good message. But his father, his mother, and his sisters were proud. Look who is ours. Look what we have, and the Lord took it." There is no place for pride. If God has gifted you, and you are excelling in a certain area, thank God. Don't be proud. It isn't you. All that we have comes from God. And I think of another fellow back in New York. We all used to play together, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And Winston, about 14 or 15, was a good violin player. Oh, he could play a violin. And he got some note, played a few concerts. And after a while, we would see Winston. "Hello, Winston, how are you?" "Oh, how do you do?" Oh, he had changed so. You know what an older man told me? He said, "Do you know Winston?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know what the trouble is with Winston? He's finished because he thinks he's finished." Let not pride have a part. Now, time is up. I must stop. But I can't stop without calling attention to one dearly beloved brother. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now, Paul is speaking. See? "And now, behold, I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me." How would you react if bonds and afflictions are knocking for you? How would you act? You're going to go to prison for the Lord. Next verse. "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, in order that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He wanted to get to the end of the course. He wanted to finish his course with joy. That was his aim and his desire. Chapter 21, please. Verse 13, Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." My, my, my. I wonder how many of us can say that. I really mean it. How did Paul end up? He said he wanted to finish his course. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. He's at the end now. At the end of his race. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. "I have fought the good fight." Not a good fight. There's only one good fight, and that's the fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one. The good fight. "I have finished my course." Oh my. He's at the end of the race. "I have kept the faith. Therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing? Are you on the race course? There is a reward for you. Now I'm going to ask that we sing, please, the first and last verses of 595. We are to go onward, forward, and upward in this course. Just the first and last verses. Onward, Christian soldiers. Don't stop. Go right ahead, fine.